Good morning, church. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. This is the one time of the year where I come out of the cave to get up here and preach. Well, I'm going to teach more than preach, but I'm excited to be up here this morning. I know Mother's Day is very special if you're a mom, but I also know it can be really hard if you've dealt with loss, if you have struggled with infertility, like I have in the past. Mother's Day was hard. But I want to encourage you, today's message is for everybody, not just the moms. So there's something for all of you. If you don't know me, my name is Natalie Lopez, and I have the privilege of co-pastoring alongside my handsome, bald husband, Pastor Jose Lopez. And I'm just going to teach, share, and I hope that the Lord will speak to you. So I want to start out saying that this is going to sound funny to some of you, but growing up, I actually used to be super shy and super introverted, and I actually struggled with confidence growing up. And every time I tell my kids that, and I'm like, deep down, I'm an introvert, they're like, no, you're not. Like, that's crazy. Because my kids are true introverts. They don't like when people really talk to them that don't know them. They don't really love direct eye contact. I ask permission to say this about them because they don't like it. But the fact of the matter is, that's who I was. In my circle of cousins, I was the shy one. I also felt like the ugly duckling because my mom gave me a haircut that rivaled the Golden Girls. So, I mean, this is what my mom did to me. And so, growing up, I never really felt comfortable in my own skin. And honestly, I also struggled a lot with fear. I struggled a lot with anxiety, which I've shared before. So I was a scared kid. You could take the picture off now. Dang. I was scared. I was shy. I was insecure. And even when I started leading worship when I was a teenager, I never volunteered for the role. The pastor was like, you're going to lead. I think you can sing. And then I would lead like this, like with my face to the wall, not looking at people, closing my eyes. It was a time. And in the past, I used to allow my insecurity to become my identity and to hold me back from the things that the Lord had for me. And even preparing for this message was a struggle. You can ask Jose. It all came to crisis on Thursday night at 5 p.m. in our incomplete kitchen when I was like, Jose, help. I don't think I could do this. And I'm like, I'm speaking about confidence. I have no confidence. Like, and my husband encouraged me, and he was just like, just tell me what it is you want to say. And I'm like crying. I'm saying to him what I want to say. He's helping me. And so it was just funny, like even leading up to this week, I was dealing with imposter syndrome. Has anyone dealt with imposter syndrome before? And I was struggling with things like, am I good enough? Because can we all agree that Pastor Jose can preach? This man can preach. This man comes up here sometimes with no notes, and he will deliver the most fire message from the Lord himself. And so I was like, man, I have to go after you, and we have Sam who speaks. And I was struggling with questions. Am I good enough? Are they going to listen to me? And so I was struggling, right? And I'm supposed to be confident, full of faith, walking in Christ, and all of these things. But the truth is, I've often struggled and measured myself against other people or measured myself against the standards of society. And in doing so, I disqualified myself even before I start. And so maybe you can relate to these things. Has anyone else ever struggled with comparison before? Or just me, right? I think it's even more in this culture because we live in an Instagram, social media world where you can see, you ever just scroll and someone posts a picture of a like pristine house and you look around and you're like, dang. or maybe I've wondered like, am I a good enough mom? We've been under like house construction. I haven't been able to cook a meal for my kids for like a month and a half. I thought I was gonna love that. But then I was like, man, I haven't cooked for my kids. Like, what does this make me as a mom? Am I a good enough friend, daughter? Maybe you struggle with, am I a good enough father? And so I want to help and encourage you if you've ever dealt with the not enough by sharing with you some of the things that the Lord has reminded me of. Because we live in a culture that tells you things like, believe in yourself. You have everything you need within you. Have you ever scrolled against, like, across those posts? And it's like, you have all the answers. It is hidden deep within you. And like, but the fact of the matter is, I'm going to tell you what the Bible actually says. And I want to just let you know that if you're overwhelmed, if you've ever dealt with fear, any of the things that I've mentioned here, the Lord has hopefully a word for you this morning. And I want to talk about being confident in the Lord, not in ourselves, but finding our confidence and our hope and our trust completely in Him. When we find our confidence in the Lord, we can walk in boldness in our identity, in who we are in Jesus. Okay? So when we had the conversation and Jose is like, what are you trying to say? What I said was, I just want people to know that my life completely changed when I encountered the power of Christ. And when I walked with the Lord throughout these years, the Lord began to transform me. It's not about getting up here and talking. It's about the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life, where when you get around people, you have hope that you can give them. And knowing that it's because Jesus is within me. And when we find our confidence in Jesus, everything changes. We sang about that. We sang, we don't walk like we used to. We don't talk like we used to. It's the power of the blood that so many of us are in this church doing things we never thought we could do. I could testify about every person that's up here that said, I can't do this. I can't sing. I can't do X, Y, and Z. And these are a lot of the people that are leading the church. Our youth leader who was like, what? I can't do this. And look at the Lord and what God can do when we put our trust in Him. 2 Corinthians 3:4-6, it says, we have this type of confidence toward God through Christ. It's not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything as coming from ourselves, but our competence is from God. He has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And Paul plainly tells us where his confidence comes from. Spoiler alert. It comes from Jesus. Amen. It doesn't come from our own ability, and we don't lose it because of our lack of ability. It comes from who God is. And when you walk with the Lord can enable you to do things you never thought you could possibly do. Can anyone testify to that, or can anyone relate? Where the Lord took you to something or has you doing something you said, never in a million years did I think I could do this. Right? Never in a million years did I want to be married to a pastor. That was my prayer, my anti-prayer. I was like, Lord, I don't want to marry a pastor. And I was so glad that he wasn't a pastor when I married him. Imagine my surprise when he comes with, this is what I feel the Lord is calling me to do. And I'm like, well, that's good for you. Because I told God that I didn't want to marry a pastor. And yet, here we are. I told the Lord, when we went into church planting the first time, no, I didn't want to do it. Ended up in church planting. When we came back into a second time, I was like, Jose, we're almost out of this. We're almost at the freedom line. We can like do what some people do where they like go to the beach on a Sunday morning and we can, you know, and here we are doing all of these things that we said we couldn't do or that we wouldn't do. And Paul teaches us a lot about the confidence that we can find in Christ. So I'm going to give you a little bit of backstory for those of you that might not know a lot about Paul. Paul was a Pharisee, which means he was a religious leader. He was trained under the Jewish law, and he was trained under a top teacher of the Jewish law. He had credentials. He had education. He was a Roman citizen, which gave him a lot of influence in his culture. It gave him power, and he was so zealous for the Lord that he actually, for not the Lord, but for religion, he killed Christians. That's how zealous he was. But all of a sudden, he has an encounter on the road to Damascus with Jesus, and his life completely changed forever in Acts 9:4-6. And a few verses later, we read about Ananias, who prays for Paul to be filled with the Holy Spirit in verse 17. And in verse 18, it says, at once, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. After taking some food, he regained his strength. Verse 20 tells us, immediately he began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues. saying he is the Son of God. Verse 22, I'm jumping around a little bit, tells us that Paul grew more capable and kept confounding the Jews by proving that this one is the Messiah. And then verse 28 tells us that he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord. From that encounter on with Jesus, it was a wrap, which tells us that all it takes is an encounter with Jesus, right? Sometimes we get in our head and we think, here's all of the things. But the fact of the matter is, one encounter with Jesus and your life can be changed forever. And you can be transformed. And there's nothing that is impossible through him. Paul initially had all of his confidence wrapped up in himself, in his identity, in who he was, in his own credentials, his own powers. But in the end, he found that all of it meant absolutely nothing outside of Jesus Christ, which is why later he writes in Philippians 3:4-8, he says, although I once had confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he has grounds for confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, regarding the law, a Pharisee, regarding zeal, persecuting the church, regarding the righteousness that is in the law, blameless. But everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. So Paul is telling us, I used to have all of these abilities and confidence in myself. He's going through his family line, his genealogy, his credentials. So in modern times, this would be if someone had a really good name. They came from like the Rockefeller family and they had all of these letters after their name, these degrees, all of these things that made them somebody, only to find out that you are nothing outside of Jesus. That's what happened with Paul. He goes on to make the ultimate point when he says, everything that mattered to me that was a benefit, I have considered loss. Now, the NLT version, I really, really like. It says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Verse 8, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ. When Christ is your everything, nothing else matters. You can throw away all of the opinions of what people think about you. You can throw away all of the insecurities. You can throw away what you put your value in. And what do you put your value in? Some of us are putting our value in things we have no business putting our value in. We find our worth in our career. We find our worth in our education. Some of us find our worth in our children. And we use the very things the Lord has blessed us with as sometimes an excuse not to be close to God. Or we make them our idols. Parents, we have to watch that. Because these babies that the Lord has given us, they're precious gifts to us, but they belong to the Lord. And they're never meant to be something that, you know, holds them back from God or holds us back from the Lord. What are we putting our value in? And what is it that we need to throw away? Is it the opinion of others? Is it the voice in your head that says, I'm not good enough. I can't do it. I don't have this. I don't have that. This person has those things. We need to throw away our self-confidence so that we can find our confidence in Jesus. Nothing that we have or that we could ever gain in this life will ever compare to the confidence and power that we find in knowing Jesus, that he can take a sinner, a wretch, somebody that the world would throw away and say is nothing, is worthless, which is the story of so many of you sitting in these chairs today, and the Lord can fill you and change you. Everything changes when we encounter Christ. We can walk with a boldness. We can walk with an authority. That shift in Paul's thinking made him unstoppable. He was unstoppable. He was fearless. He was unshakable. I mean, sometimes I'm shaken by the most minor thing. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm spiraling. You know, my poor husband, because I will spiral over if someone says something to me that hurts my feelings. I'm done. Like, I'm out for the week. I'm like in my head. And seeing that he was unshaken by some crazy things that happened to him, okay? This man was found in Jesus. He was strong. He was courageous in faith, which is powerful because as someone who struggled with fear most of her life, when I was young, I struggled with anxiety, panic attacks. The only thing that worked was my dad would put me in the car and just drive me around, and like we would listen to worship music and things like that. But finding Jesus, everything changes. You're up here on a Sunday when, you know, when you didn't really, that wasn't your end goal, right? So his confidence gave him strength to face trials, to face suffering, to do it with joy. In Acts 14, 19 to 20, it talks about how Paul in this city of Lystra, he's stoned, he is dragged out of the city, he is left for dead. Homeboy goes back the next day, gets up, and continues preaching to the people that persecuted him. That's a big one. For me, it's like, if I try to share Jesus with someone and they're like, no, I'm like, okay. But it's bravery to see this, that he's literally left for dead. He goes back the next day. That also shows you he was filled with an otherworldly boldness. It wasn't like, it wasn't this stuff that people try to sell us. These, you know, you have all the power and all these seminars. No, he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only kind of power that you can be stoned, dragged out of a city, left for dead, no ER or nothing, and you go right back the next day to preach the gospel to the very people who did that to you. Some of us can't even go back to people that have hurt us because we're still caught up in offense and unforgiveness, that we're stuck in that we won't even preach the gospel to some, maybe our family members that need it, because we're still hurt by the things that have happened years ago. Paul out here coming back to life after being stoned and dragged out of the city. In Acts 16, we see Paul praising in the prison, ministering to the prison guards, which again, that doesn't seem like the vibe of a prison. You know, I've watched those prison shows. It's not really giving praise and worship ceremony. It doesn't give that. So he's doing these things. He's preaching to people who are intellectual and very, very smart people. And that's intimidating because Paul had all of his credentials in the Jewish law, but he was still growing in his faith to Jesus. It's intimidating, right? I don't have a degree in theology. I'm an English teacher, okay? So it's intimidating coming up here and you're speaking and praying, Lord, I hope it's right, God. Like, I hope I read this the right way, Lord. You know, all of these things. We see in Acts 27 to 28, Paul is shipwrecked and still unshaken. I don't know about you. I went on a cruise this summer. I promise you, if my cruise ship went down, I would not be still trying to get to the destination. I would consider it a sign that I'm probably not supposed to go there. But he's shipwrecked, he's unshaken, he's moving forward, which shows us we can endure anything when our confidence is in Christ, and we can be unshakable, right? Our lives look a little bit different. We walk with a different pep in our step, and we don't have a problem throwing things away that are holding us back from him. For too long, so many of us have struggled with that. We've struggled with wondering these things, wondering what do people think about us, wondering, you know, do I have enough? Am I good enough? Wondering about our money, all of these things, only to find out that these things leave us empty and they're lacking. And my prayer is that we can learn to walk in the authority that which we've been called as believers in Christ. There's too many people walking around with their head down, walking around like they don't know who Jesus is, walking around defeated as believers. What's up with that? Why? Why are we walking like we don't know who Jesus is and like we haven't had an encounter with the Lord, right? And we've put all of our hope in the wrong things when everything we need is found in Jesus. Everything that we need, everything that we're lacking. Maybe you're struggling in areas in your life. Maybe you're struggling even on Mother's Day. Maybe you have struggling relationships. I'm here to tell you that everything you need is found in Christ, that Christ can be the mother that you're missing. He can be the father. He can be the brother, the sister. He can be the friend. He fills every empty space in our lives. And we can see that when Paul had this encounter and was filled with boldness, it changed the way that he interacted with other people. How many of us can say that? we're impacted in how we interact with people based off of our walk with God. That should be a yes, but for some of us, maybe it's a no. But it shouldn't be the same. It should be completely different, right? And he was able to minister to people in a different way. And he was able to face people that hated him, his enemies, and actually preach to them and share the gospel to them, which is hard. I don't know about you, but I can be petty sometimes. I might not want to be giving out the good news to someone who's, you know, treated me some kind of way. And ministry is hard. It's hard. There's so many things behind the scenes where you have to take the high road. And sometimes you don't want to take the high road. And you want to, like, fight with people. And you want to be like, ooh, and you can't. And you have to do this. And sometimes on really hard days, I'll tell Jose, I'll be like, Jose, show me your face when, like, you know, some, we're going to, like, encounter something today that's crazy. Show me. And he'll go, there it is. And so that ministers to me. And at the end of the book of Acts, we see it ending. It says that Paul gets to Rome. He proclaims the kingdom of God and teaches the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with full boldness and without hindrance. And this is after, if you read the book of Acts, my man has gone through the ringer here. And it ends on that note. And I'm like, man, prison, going through all of these trials. And he preaches the word of God full of boldness and without hindrance. He just goes back to the job that has been assigned to him, and he does that. And so what does that actually mean? What does it mean for us to encounter Christ this morning? And what does it mean for you to walk in confidence and to walk in boldness in Christ and to walk in his abilities? It means that our life will not be the same and that we can have a complete transformation of our lives. A lot of us are allowing the flesh to make the decisions in our lives. So we go according to how we feel. I can't tell you how many conversations we get into with people in ministry and they'll be like, but this is how we feel. And we're like, that is amazing. But this is what the Bible says. And some people will argue with us because they're upset with us about, it could be theology, it could be, well, we want you to accept X, Y, and Z. And we're like, we hear you. But in this church, we are always going to point back to the Bible. If the Bible doesn't say it, then we are not going to teach it. And we are not going to condone or do whatever just to be on the right track of popularity. At the end of the day, we cannot allow our flesh to guide every decision that we make. And some of us live according to our moods and according to our feelings. We're like the waves of the sea moving back and forth. Well, I don't feel like worshiping today. I don't feel like doing X, Y, and Z. I had a bad week. I don't feel like it. I'm not in the mood. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, guys. He died on the cross. He didn't say, well, I'm, you know, it's not the right day for this, and I'm not really trying to be, like, Jesus went through his thing going up to the cross, but he died on the cross for us so that we can live a life of freedom, and we can live a life of purpose in him. And many of us are held back because we're too stuck in the me zone, and the Lord is asking us to think outside of ourselves. It's not about us, guys, and that's a hard pill to swallow. Even the type of Christianity that's sold to us today, it's very me-centered. Do what you feel. Follow your heart. You have the truth within you. My truth. This is my truth. If it is not the truth of the word of God, then it is rubbish, right? Paul says he discarded everything. Everything. Not some of it. All of it. Anything that would hold him back from knowing Christ, it became garbage to him. His credentials, his letters behind his name, all of these things meant absolutely nothing outside of knowing Jesus Christ. And I'm here to encourage you this morning. You don't have to be the most educated person. You don't have to be the most eloquent person. You can come from a screwed up, jacked up family, and the Lord can still use you. You can come from a line of addiction and divorce and dysfunction, and the Lord can still use you, and the Lord can transform your life. You can come from, there's nothing impossible. If the Lord can save Paul, he murdered Christians. Guys, he was doing terrible things. Sometimes we think that we're too far from the hand of God and that he can do everything except this thing. And we pray for everybody else, but he can do everything but not for me. But I'm here to tell you this morning that the Lord can change your life. That's the beauty of a walk with Jesus, is transformation in Jesus. That is the power of an encounter with him. At the end of the day, we're not in ministry because we, or, you know, on the altar because we figured out the secret of life and we've read all of these things. The secret of life is Jesus saved our soul. And so we can glorify and live for him. At the end of the day, it's Christ in me that fills me with his Holy Spirit and gives me the authority to walk in purpose and in destiny and to do hard things and to face difficult things. And I'm not even talking about being on this altar, but there's many things that some of you are facing that are really, really hard. There might be things that you're facing in your family. Maybe you're struggling on Mother's Day because you want to have a baby and you're struggling in infertility. Maybe you're facing a tough situation in marriage. Maybe you're facing a situation in your career or whatever the case may be. At the end of the day, we can move differently when we walk in Jesus. We don't have to be the same, and our lives can be transformed according to his power. It has nothing to do with Natalie Lopez. It has nothing to do with Jose or my kids. It has everything to do with the power of Jesus. It has everything to do with the power of the Holy Spirit and Christ in each and every one of us that fills us with his boldness. And it has everything to do with who my Father is. We can walk in our birthright of boldness and in our birthright of authority when our confidence is in Christ. We can speak the truth to people in love without worrying about what they're thinking or without worrying about who we're offending or any of these different things. We can face things that we never thought we could face before. Guys, how many of you can testify that a year ago, some of the things you're facing right now would have taken you out? Like, hands down, would have taken you out. But your testimony this morning is, I'm still standing by the grace of God. And not only has the Lord kept you, but some of you have flourished in the midst of trials. And some of you have grown in the midst of struggles. And some of you have stood tall where the enemy has meant to take you out and the enemy has meant to defeat you. That is a testimony of the power of Christ and a testimony of the boldness that we have in Jesus. Today we're gonna end. The reason why they're coming up a little early is because I wanted to spend time as part of my message in worshiping the Lord, declaring who God is, and declaring his power. And what I wanna tell you is that confidence in yourself will fail you. Confidence in yourself will fail you. But confidence in Christ will transform you, and your life will never, ever be the same. And that is my prayer and my hope, is that as you listen to some of the words that the worship team is going to sing, I want you to just meditate on the words that they're singing. They're going to lead us in worship. And you can stand, you can sit, you can kneel, you can just listen to the song. And then I'm going to share just a little bit more after they're done.
Oh, Lord, you feel me in the power.
fed you lies, lie after lie after lie after lie about your identity. Some of you have put your confidence in yourself and in what you bring to the table. Some of you have no confidence in self and you struggle with insecurity. Some of you know how to play the game of church and you come in here every Sunday after Sunday after Sunday doing all the things, walking the walk. Outside of church, your life is a complete and total disaster. And some of you have been running from the call of God on your life and you've been running from the purpose of God on your life. Some of you, maybe it's because you're scared. And you're scared of what your life would look like because you know that when you make a decision to follow Christ, everything has to change. And you're scared of what that looks like. But here's the thing, it's not anything in your power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit who brings the change and who does the work. And that takes all of the pressure off of you. There's nothing that you have to strive to do. All you have to do is make a decision to surrender to the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, do the work in me. I give my life to you. I lay it at your feet. My life is screwed up. I come from a bad genealogy. I don't have a good family name. I come from a history of abuse, dysfunction, divorce, alcoholism, addiction. There's nobody that I can even look up to. But the Lord says that that can change today, that you can be the person to create a new legacy for your family in Jesus Christ. It is not the power that we have. It is the power of Christ in us, church. And so I want to silence the lies of self-doubt, and I want to silence the voice of the enemy today, this morning. I'm going to ask you guys to bring it down just a little bit. Some of you, even right now as I'm speaking, the lies are coming into your mind, and you're listening to voices that say, this isn't for me. This couldn't be for me. This is for them, but it couldn't be for me. And the enemy has worked overtime. But you guys have given him too much power. He has no power. He has no authority. It all comes under the name and the blood of Jesus Christ. All we have to do is make a decision to walk in the authority to which we have been called as believers in Christ. He is calling us to be an army. And some of us are walking like defeated soldiers who are waving the flag. And today, this morning, that's going to change. I said this morning, that's going to change. This morning, you are going to surrender those things that you have allowed to keep you captive. And you are going to make a decision this morning. And this is for everybody. This isn't just for people that don't believe in Jesus. Because guess what? Some of us Christians, we're also believing the lies. And we're listening to the voices. And we're listening to those voices more than the word and the truth of God. And so this morning, this is for you too as well. And so we're going to end today's service. We're not really going to fully end it, but here's what's going to happen. The worship team is going to sing their heart out to a very powerful bridge, declaring about who God is. Because at the end of the day, it's about who God is. Christ in us, but who he is. And they're going to worship their hearts out. And it is going to be powerful. And it is going to be awesome. And you are going to stand up on your feet right now. And as they're lifting up the name of the Lord, I'm going to encourage you to respond. And I'm going to remind you that your weaknesses and your past do not disqualify you from the purpose to which Christ has called you and to the purpose in which you have in Jesus. In fact, these might be the very places in which his strength wants to shine through. He might want to use that thing that you said, I could never do this. He might want to use your story to reach somebody else that, guess what, I can't reach. You have been uniquely qualified to do things that you can do that we can't do, and to be the hands and feet of Jesus in places where we can't be the hands and feet of Jesus. So don't you dare disqualify yourself this morning by listening to the lies of the enemy. When your confidence is in Christ, you can show up when you feel small. You can speak life even when your voice shakes. You can be the person that changes the direction of your family. You can break the chains of bondages. You can break spiritual strongholds. You can break curses. You can break dysfunction through the power of the Holy Spirit.